you folks have been, you haven't been tainted, you've been tainted by that Bible. And you would, your problem is you'd fit into this world nicely if that book hadn't ruined you.
Right.
Now, if you're here tonight, you've been through the services this week, you've been through long song services, and you've been through long preaching, and if you're here tonight and you've stayed this far, you're here because you love the Lord. That's the only definition. And if you're here tonight and your posterior is itching a little bit to get out already, your problem is, you know, if you're not in your element.
That's right.
That's right.
If you're here tonight and you're saying, I'm a little uncomfortable right now, you know, this is kind of a weird place. The problem is that you're not in your element and you need to change your element.
Right, right.
If you feel more happy at a discotheque and more comfortable at a bar, or more happy at a card party or a bingo game than you feel in here tonight, then there's something wrong with you.
Amen.
And what you need to do, now I'm going to say this, most of these folks have probably been the same place one time. I mean, listen, buddy, first time I walked into a Baptist church, I was a lost Roman Catholic. I knew I was going to hell. They weren't going to spring no secrets on me. But the first time I went, somebody asked me if I'd go. I thought, if you weren't a Catholic, you're a holy roller. So the first time I went, I wore old clothes. And I said, I wasn't going to wear anything good if they was going to tear it off of you. That's exactly what I felt. I really did. That's what I thought. And I sat third row from the back, and I kept an eye on the ushers, man. I mean, I was ready to hit the first one that made a move for me. But, you see, I didn't fit in. I was out of my element. But I'm here now, you know. And the element had to change at all. I've had to change me. And if you, like I said, if you feel uncomfortable, you need to change your element. You know, people need to, this ain't the sermon, but you know what you need to do? You need to take a look at where you feel comfortable. I mean, you know what you ought to do? I mean, when you just feel like you're unwinding and you just feel good and you can just relax and you can unwind, you ought to take a look around and see where you are.
That's right.
And if you find that 2 feet away from you, somebody's clinking a glass of whiskey, and another 2 feet, somebody's telling a dirty joke, and you're just feeling nice and comfortable and good, man, you better flat change yourself. Don't worry about your element. And you know what's, you know what it is about these folks here? You just, that's how you feel. You feel at home here, you know? And you're going to stay up late. You're going to be tired tomorrow. But listen, how many times have you been tired for the devil?
Amen.
My goodness, man, when I went out before I got saved, I got back when the sun was coming up. I mean, I'd come home, I hated birds. You ever have them lousy things start singing? I mean, man, you crawl into bed and you lay down and some bird outside starts singing like it's happy. Nobody should be happy that time of morning, you know? And even in fellowship, you know, you'll get to where you talk a long time. You'll go over your family's houses and your friends' houses and you know, you'll take care of all of the world's problems two or three times during the night. And you'll get home and your kids will be tired. You'll be tired the next day. Well, listen, if you're going to be good and tired after this week, man, can you think of a better reason to be good and tired?
Right.
You see? So, that's all free. Genesis chapter 24. We find that Abraham, type of father, has sent Eliezer, his servant, type of the Holy Spirit, out to find a bride for Isaac, type of the son. You ain't none of them. Your type of bride.
Amen.
Well, I mean, Rebecca's the type of bride. We find that through some, the 24th chapter of Genesis, we find that Eliezer turned to God, asked God to lead him. He says, and he makes a classic statement, you know. He makes a statement that most Christians ought to get on track with. He says, I being in the way, the Lord led. Now, I know sometimes people say, hey, will you move? You're in the way. But you know where a Christian ought to be? You ought to plant yourself in the way and let the Lord lead you. And what the problem with most people is they think God's got to knock at their door before they're going to do anything. Some people need to just get out there where God can move them a little bit, all right? And Eliezer found him the bride. Found him the lady that God wanted for Isaac, Abraham's son. And we find this happens. Oh, they're getting ready to leave. And it says this, verse 61. It says, Rebekah rose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Laharoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off her camel. Don't pervert that. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that I, a chunk of clay, an unworthy sinner, God, can call you Father tonight. I thank you, God, you put a perfect book in my unperfect hand. I thank you, God, that you've given a perfect message to my unperfect voice. God, I ask that you'd set Sam Gipp aside. I would ask, Father, you would speak to all of our hearts tonight. God, if someone has shown up here tonight without Christ, they must think they're in the wildest place on the face of this earth. But God, let them see tonight the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them see, Father, the joy of having received Christ as personal Savior. God, for anybody here who is saved and kind of gotten too messed up in this world, just a little too deep, just a little too comfortable, God, help me be more comfortable in this place around this kind of singing and this book and these kind of people than they are where they are comfortable, Father. Change them, God, and then change their element. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Now what we have here is we have Rebekah, who is the type of the bride of Christ, and she is leaving to go see her husband, who is the type of Jesus Christ. Now if you ever want to find yourself in the Bible, you're not going to find yourself. I find myself many places. Sometimes my name is spelled whosoever. That's right. Sometimes it's spelled them. That's right. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You know, that's how you spell it. I don't care how God want to put it in there as long as I get in the crowd. All right? But if you want to find yourself in type, you're in here. And you are part of, if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you are part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Now, if you guys, I always get a big kick out of a guy trying to be macho to find out he's going to be a bride someday. And that's exactly what it says. All right, now let's take a look at what happened here. And I'm going to talk to you tonight about Rebekah's journey to Isaac, okay? Because what you are on right now, even though you're sitting in a stationary pew and a stationary building in a stationary town, in a world I know that is spinning, at least that's what they tell us. I'm not sure I believe anything they say anymore. But even though all that is going on around you, and even though you may think that you're sitting still, you're on a journey, and your journey began the day that you said you would go. All right? You know, it's an amazing thing that a person can walk around saying that Jesus Christ, you know, there's irresistible grace, and the Lord is going to save you. You know, he's going to throw a hammerlock on you, and you're going to get saved whether you want to or not. What does every man do before he marries his wife? He asks her if she'll marry him. I've taught in a couple of colleges, you know, and we have what we call resident idiots. And you can always tell the resident idiot because he comes to college and he walks up to the prettiest blonde in the school and stands in front of her and she's going down the hall and says, I just want to let you know that God just told me that you're going to marry me someday. What's your name? You know, I mean, that's a resident idiot. We have those kind of guys. And you know what a girl thinks of that? She thinks that he's a resident idiot. That's what she thinks. It's exactly what she thinks. And I'm going to tell you something. God didn't say, you're going with me. You know what? You know what the bottom line on this whole thing was? Eliezer went out there to find a bride for Isaac, and when he saw Rebekah, you know what he said? He said, will you go? And if she'd have said no, he'd have went and found him a bride for Isaac. He said, will you go? She said, sure will. June 14th, 1970. God walked up, said, I'm looking for a bride for my master. And the Holy Spirit said, Sam, will you go? I said, sure will, man. Watch. Just don't get between me and the camel, pal. I'm on my way. So here's what it says. Verse 61 says, And Rebekah rose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Those last four words of that verse upset many Christians. It says that she went, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. You know what that meant? That meant from the moment that she said, I will marry this man, her future was no longer in her control. Her future was in the control of the person who represented the Holy Spirit of God. Boy, that scares Christians. You know what she had to do before she could get to Isaac? She had to leave her old life behind. She had to say, farewell, father, farewell, mother, farewell, brothers. Farewell, sisters. Goodbye, old life. I am going to marry the man that God has chosen for me. Now, you know what? You know what you find out when you get saved? You find out that somewhere along the line, you're going to have to leave the old life behind. Now, personally, I don't know why anybody would want to carry a little formaldehyde with. That's right, man. Listen, before you got saved, you were nothing but a corpse. You were dead as a hammer. And you were just good for waiting, like they say, for the undertaker. Now we're waiting for the uppertaker.
Amen.
But the fact is this. I don't know why anybody would want around carrying around a piece of dead person with them. And when I remember when I first got saved, I sat down in that front row, and I was miserable, and I was unhappy with everything around me, and I had it all. And I said, God, I'm going to leave this all behind. I want to go with you. You know what God needs? God needs some Christians who will resolve themselves to turn their back on what they had or what they've got and say, Lord, I will go your way. That's what God's looking for. He is looking for people. Hey, listen, you know the biggest problem with Christianity? You know the biggest problem with America is not the lost people who hate God. It's the Christians who don't love it. It's the ones who love Bank AmeriCard, man. It's the ones who love Visa and MasterCard. That's the problem. The problem is Christians who bared their heart in this world. That's the problem. The problem is somebody who says, yeah, I'll marry that guy, but you better bring him here because I ain't leaving my living room. I ain't leaving my $500 console color stereo that I bought for the educational program. I'll tell you what, buddy, you spend $500, $600, $700 on a console stereo color high fidelity zip them, zap them, you know, for the educational programs. I'm glad you did, because you need the education, because it's obvious you're stupid. That's right. We don't have one because I don't want my boys to be educated by them people.
Amen.
I'll do the education. We're trying to ruin those boys. I figure I'll finish off the raising of them, but if it should happen that I don't, and one of these days somebody else has control over their lives and their minds, I hope somebody puts them in a room and works them over real good with mentally and walk out saying, well, that kid's been ruined. That kid's been ruined. He's just got too much Bible in him. That's exactly what I want.
Amen.
You know what's wrong with most of the Christian children in America today? They've got too much TV in them.
That's right.
They're more worried about He-Man than Jesus Christ. That's the problem.
Right.
They all run around trying to jump off of buildings and jump over them with a single bound, worried about all that kind of junk. You know what's wrong, Christians? I'll tell you what's wrong. You don't want to go the way of the Holy Spirit. That's the problem. That Holy Spirit says, buddy, did you say you'd go? Hey, you know what the problem was just before they took off? The problem was that she said she'd go, and her family's trying to keep them around. Laban said, well, stick around for a while. And Mama's saying, oh, Mama. That's right. And finally, Eliezer said, hey, man, send me away. I got to go. And they said, well, it's up to her. She wants to go now. He looked at her, she's going to go. She said, I will. So, okay, baby, get on the camel. We're leaving. That's right. You know what's wrong with some people? I mean, did you ever stop and realize? Do you know what they call a camel? They call a camel the ship of the desert. Now, you know why they call them that? Have you ever ridden a camel? Well, neither have I, and I'm not sure I want to. But they tell me that when you get on a camel, that thing goes up and down and all around. And if they don't like you, you know, they'll turn around and bite you. They spit on you. Real nice. Real nice mode of travel, you know. I think it fits the earth. And, you know what you say? You say, well, I thought it'd be a little different than this. I thought there'd be one of them six-door caddies out here. Say, well, I'm sorry. Just shut up and get on the camel. You know what's wrong? The problem is that we don't like the mode of transportation that God picks. The problem is that we don't like God's method of getting us from point A to point B. That's our problem. You know, so many people, we've read so many biographies and autobiographies and fictional biographies and all this other garbage about what Christianity ought to be, that when we see what God's got cut out for us, we say, well, I don't like that. Why doesn't that camel have a vinyl top? That's right. Where's the air conditioner on this thing, man? Where's the MFM stereo cassette deck? I can't understand this. I'm going to tell you something. The first thing you find that Rebecca had to do to get to Isaac is she had to leave her old life behind and go the way of the servant of God. You know what a Christian needs to do in this world? Hey, listen, there's two decisions every person needs to make in this world. The first one is to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The second one is to get on the camel. The second one is to leave the old life behind and say, I'll go where you go. I will do what you want me to do, and I won't look back. So I want you to see that the first thing is that she had to leave her old life behind. Now I want you to notice that they started out and they were clear up there at Haran, and they had to go all the way down to Hebron. The Bible says the very chapter before this, Genesis chapter 23, right around verse 19. Now, you don't have to look back there, but that is it, that Abraham, when he sent Eliezer out, was in Hebron. And so You travel by camel, man. I mean, this is not the case of getting on a 747 and be up and down and you're there in 15 or 20 minutes. I mean, she had to spend some time with that servant. Between saying yes and the marriage ceremony, Rebecca had to spend some time with Eliezer. You know what's wrong with some Christians? God said, I'm going to give you a comforter, and they don't like the comforter. God said, hey, listen, God chose your companion. The companion that's going to walk with you and lead you and take you through this life here after you get saved. God chose that person. That person is the person of the Holy Spirit. The one-third of the Trinity. Do you understand that? And you know something? Though he is deity, though he is God, though he is the Holy Spirit of God who has moved throughout that book, he has moved, and he is your companion through life from the time you trust Christ to the time of the marriage. Many Christians don't like the fellowship. They don't like the company. They get a little upset about it. You know what you need to realize? You need to realize that this side of glory, you've got some time that you can spend with the Holy Spirit, and you can just get some things straight. You know that? What do you reckon she was doing? I'll tell you what I think she was doing. I'll bet she was grilling that dude about what Isaac looked like. Yeah. I mean, you realize she said she'd marry somebody she never saw? She didn't know how tall he was. Now, you tell me there's a woman going to marry somebody she doesn't care less how tall he is. I mean, you know, here she is. She's 6'4" and he's 4'2". I mean, she carries him around. You'll say, that's your son. Says, oh, you had a baby. So that's my husband. Right? I mean, she said she'd marry him. But you know what? I'll bet she got interested in finding out just a little bit about him. If she wanted to be any kind of a wife, you know what she was trying to find out? She's trying to find out what kind of meals he liked. Don't you think? I'll bet she's trying to find out, if you'll excuse the expression, how to fix him a nutritious breakfast. I bet she's trying to find out what color he likes. My wife has had some dresses, or she's looked at some dresses. You know what? If I don't like them, and I'm not talking about morally what was wrong with them, if I don't like them, she don't wear them. You say, well, who do you think you are? I think I'm the man of the house. That's who I think I am. Amen. And I'll tell you something else. I don't have to throw a farm lock on her to tell her what not to wear. You know what? Her heart's desire is to please me. And if she puts something on and she says, how do you like it? And I say, that's different. I mean, she just kisses it goodbye because she's not going to wear it. You know why? Because she wants to please her husband. You know what I believe that Rebecca did for the time that she was with Eliezer? I'll bet she was asking him how tall he was, what's he look like, what does his voice sound like, tell me what does he like, what does he not like, what should I do when I first meet him? I mean, you know what? She wanted to make sure that he liked her. She went out there saying, I don't know if I'm going to be pleased with this guy. You know what she wanted? She wanted him to be pleased with her. Now, you got some time, folks. You know who you're going to meet one of these days? You're going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know what I'd do if I was you? I'd check out somebody who knows it. You know who knows it? The Holy Spirit. All right, you know what I'd do? I'd check out somebody who knows it, and I'd start asking him, I'd say, hey, Holy Spirit, what do you like to eat? What do you think I ought to wear? What kind of music does he like? How should I wear my hair? How should I form my speech when I'm around him? Tell me what he's like. Tell me what his likes are. Tell me what his dislikes are. I need to begin now on this trip from saying yes to the marriage. I need to begin now to change my personality so that when I get there, I am what he desires. Listen, I'm going to tell you some people. You're not going to get up there and find out that Jesus Christ had to change so that you and him could get along. We have this thing, you know, where we think Jesus Christ is going to have to change so that he'll be compatible with us. Oh, no, my friend. It is not a 50-50 proposition, and Dobson will not counsel your marriage. You had flat better get changed so that you are what he wants when we get there. You know what he said? He said, Paul said, I want to present you a chaste virgin. Better watch where you hang around. You better watch it. You better watch what you listen to. I get so tired of people saying, well, what's on with the music I listen to? Well, first off, if you've got to ask that, there's probably something wrong with it. Just like a fellow says, well, how long is long? Long enough to ask that question. Because, buddy, I guarantee you, if you're already asking that question, you've already got a problem in your heart, the Holy Spirit's already talking to you about it, and that's why you're trying to squeak out from under it. And you know something? If you find yourself going through your house and finding questionable items and questionable habits and questionable wardrobe, and you're trying to justify it or say, well, there's nothing in the Bible that says exactly that I can't do that, there's already something wrong with you, pal. Your camel needs to stumble a little bit and fall on you and get your attention. She spent some time with the servant. And when she was spending that time with the servant, she began to prepare herself for her bridegroom. You know what you've done? You ought to thank God that God didn't come down here right after you got saved. I was a mess when I got saved. I know I'm a mess now, but you should have seen me then. And the last thing I'd want to do is present myself to the Lord Jesus Christ the way I did the day I got saved. Last thing I'd want him to do is save me and then call me home and have me show up the way I looked. I mean, man, I'm telling you, my hair was too long. I had see-through shirts and bell-bottoms and sandals and listening to the wrong music and driving a red, white, and blue car. I mean, you just wouldn't believe it. I didn't have license plates on my car. Everybody in town knew who it was. Cops used to follow me around for hours trying to figure out what I was doing. They wouldn't bother arresting me. They knew me too well. Listen here. We could laugh about that. But I wouldn't want to present that to Jesus Christ. Now, I remember, you know, when I was down in Pensacola, one day God said, I shouldn't say God. You know who said it? The servant. I was talking to the servant. I said, servant, tell me what my bridegroom wants me to look like. The servant said, your hair's too long, bud. Hey, I didn't say how long is long. You know what I want to know? I said, how short enough? I said, you think he doesn't like my hair? He says, the Holy Spirit says, I know he doesn't. I said, well, I want my hair to be so that he likes it. And I remember I walked into a barber shop. Buddy, when I walked in that barber shop, that barber looked at me like a hungry man looked at a steak dinner. I walked in there and I sat down in the chair and do they always strap you in? I didn't know if he was doing that for safety's sake or what, you know. And he said, what can I do for you? I said, get rid of all of the length. Well, man, he went back in his closet and he brought out his pneumatic chisels and air hammers and shears and, you know, and buddy, he rolled up his sleeves and he waded in hip and thigh. I'm sitting in this chair, you know, and I'm watching this hair. Now, my hair grows out real slow. Now it grows out so fast it doesn't have time to take root. But it grows real slow. And it took me a long time for my hair to get halfway decent length. And then in the summer sun, it bleached it blonde, you know. I was just happy with it. And I'm watching this stuff, you know. And you realize how long I've worked on that and how quick this guy had taken care of me. I'm watching chunks of hair, you know. And it's going. You know, and this guy buddy, he figured he's going to get me just as much as he could before I came to my senses, you know. And as I'm watching, and this guy's cutting for a long time. I mean, he cut a lot longer than I thought he ought to, you know. And about 2 or 3 hours later, you know, I told God, I said, look. I said, Lord, you better guide this barber. I figure it's time to pray now. And I said, God, you better guide this barber. And I said, because I already know that when he's done cutting my hair, I'm not going to like the way it looks. That's right. You say, how'd you know? Because I liked the way it looked when I walked in. So if he cut one hair off of it, I knew I wasn't going to be happy. And I said, I already know I'm not going to like the way it looks when he's done. But I said, you guide him so that when it's done, it looks the way you want it. So about 4 or 5 hours later, I don't know if he got, he either got winded, stopped for lunch, or he was done. I don't know, but I got out of the chair. That fella swung that chair around and put a mirror in front of my face. And I'm telling you, the first words that came to my mind were drowned rat. I was right, buddy. I did not like what he had done to my hair. And yet, while I was watching the reflection in that mirror, I watched a smile begin to appear on my face, because as I looked at that reflection, I was seeing a haircut that was cut exactly the way my bridegroom wanted it, and boy, did I feel good. And you know who told me to do that? It wasn't some Bible-thumping preacher who had too many standards and always telling you, you know, a legalist. Oh, yeah, it was a legalist, but it was the one who wrote the law.
servants of Holy Spirit. You know what's wrong with most Christians? I'll tell you what's wrong. The whole, you go up to the Holy Spirit and you say, what can I do to please him? And he tells you, you say, I want 2 out of 3. Well, what else can I do? That's right. You say, what can I do what can I sing for, Lord? And well, don't sing what you've been singing. You say, maybe I can pay. That's right. Holy Spirit back up to him, wait a minute, man, we're talking about music. He says, well, yeah, I know you're talking about music, but I like what you said. So I'd rather just move on. Listen, you ought to try to please your bridegroom. You know who's going to tell you how to please him? Servant. And when that servant tells you what you need to change in your life, my friend, you change it today. I had a mutual friend, you know how I led him to Christ. His hair was long. God began to deal with him about it. Holy Spirit began to talk to him, and he said, well, Sam, I think that when God wants me to cut my hair, he'll make me want to. I said, no. He said, no. I said, no. I said, when God wants you to come cut your hair, he'll tell you to. I said, if he made you want to, you'd be cutting it for yourself, right? What, don't you do what you want to do? All right, then, if God made you want to cut your hair, who would you be cutting it for? You'd be cutting it because you wanted to. I said, if you love him, he'll just tell you to cut it, and you'll cut it when you don't want to. Listen, if you're listening to music tonight that God doesn't want you to listen to, you can shut it off, and you can keep on wanting to. That's an act of love on your part for your bridegroom. If you got some clothes, ladies, in your wardrobe that don't belong on a Christian, I'm going to tell you something. You may want to wear them. You can want to all day long, but you'd better dump them, too. And tell him, say, Lord, hey, you know what I told the Lord about drinking? I said, God, I don't want to quit drinking. That's right. I liked it. I just like the taste. And I said, Lord, I don't want to quit drinking. But I said, you want me to. So I will. That Holy Spirit, you know what he's saying? He's saying this. Don't try to kiss your bridegroom tie with that on your breath. See what I'm saying? I like what Doc says, you know. He says, you ever imagine what it's like for a Christian to smoke? And if he just takes a big old too long drag off a cigarette and the rapture happens. And there he is standing in front of the Lord going. Well, I mean, you know, he say, what's on your clothes, man? Where you been? That's right. You want to please the bridegroom? Better talk to the servant. Now, I'll tell you something else she did. Obviously, they didn't make this trip in one day. They had to stop at Holiday Inn or wherever they stopped, you know. You know what this lady did? Now, this is probably one of the craziest things anybody's ever done. Without a doubt, when they stopped somewhere at a bazaar or a fair of some kind, somebody said, where are you going? And you know what she began to do? She began to tell these people about her bridegroom. And she was talking like she was in love with him, and everybody said, well, my, he must be a handsome man. And she said, well, I'm pretty sure he is. What do you mean you're pretty sure he is? Well, I've never seen him. You've never seen him? That's right. But you love him? Oh, I love him. You're going to marry him? I'm going to marry him. And you're excited about this? Oh, man, I hardly wait. If nothing else, just get off that lousy camel. That's right. You know something, people? You know what I'm telling you? I'm telling you that the rest of this journey, from the time she said she'd go to the time of that marriage, you know what she did? All that lady did was tell people about loving someone who she had never met. That don't make no sense, does it? That makes almost as much sense of talking about Jesus Christ. Hey, who here has talked to him? I mean, would somebody like to get up and give me the description? How tall is he? You want to tell me? What's his complexion like? You guys say you love him. I mean, tell me about him. Listen, you know what you know about Jesus Christ? Your experience with Jesus Christ is the same experience that Rebecca had with her future husband. You say, well, what did she know about him? All she knew was he sure flat knew how to give some gifts. You know what Eliezer showed up with?
Riches.
I mean, man, he's slapping some bracelets around here and rings around here. I mean, her brother Laban, boy, he was collecting everything he could, you know. And, I mean, you know what Rebecca said? Rebecca said, look in here, man.
I'm up here, and I'm a nobody, and he's giving me all this stuff, and he don't even know me, man. He loved me before I ever knew him. Look at this. You know what the Lord's done? You know how I know he's so great? People say you never see him. No, sir, man, but I've experienced the tokens of his love. He's come by, and he's bestowed the riches on somebody that he should have walked past. Sam, I know he's got a heart of love because he loves somebody like me. That's how I know. That's how I know.
I walk around, if you don't, I tell people I'm going to go someplace where I ain't never seen. Somebody said, what's heaven like?
Neat. Swell. And so we all stumble back into, well, you know, I have not seen or ear heard of all the things God's got. Hey, dummy. Stop and think about this. You know, your pastor and I, we've been in his van several times this week, and we have been tuning in some radical music. He's been exposed. Written by a fella in Germany. It's called Handel's Messiah. I had never really appreciated that before I got saved. But I'll tell you what, now, man, if there is inspired music, that's it. All right? That's it. And the thing is this, see? I didn't like that before I got saved. Now that I've got saved, I'm getting tuned in. See, I'm getting with this program a little bit. Now I'm beginning to realize that God's been doing some things for me, and I'm trying to kind of try to be what he wants me to be. And so I go around and I tell people about this person I'm going to, you know, this place I'm going to. People say, well, explain what heaven's like to me. Hey, listen, you may as well face the fact, pal. You can't explain heaven. You know why? Because you're still stuck in a finite body. And if we put any one of us in heaven tonight, the first thing we'd want to do is get out of there. That's right. You say, oh, but the Lord will be there. That's right. But, buddy, if we don't change these bodies before we go through the gate, we're not going to fit in, man. I mean, it's going to be like a round... You're going to feel like a pork chop at a Jewish wedding. You know that? I mean, you're going to feel like you was just down at the temple and offered somebody a ham sandwich. Well, how do I get out of here? That's right. And so how in the world do you think in this finite little bean brain you got, you're going to explain to some other little finite bean brain person about something that is infinite and perfect and is totally filled by God? How are you going to explain it? People say, well, I just don't want to go up, sit in a room and do nothing but play a harp. Well, it beats screaming and playing. I mean, I happen to know the alternative. I don't like it. All right? So what do I care about, explain heaven? You got an eternity? We'll talk about it. But I'll tell you this. From the experiences, see, from the tokens of love, from the gifts that my bridegroom has sent my way, I know a lot of good things about him. And I love him. I love him. You know what's sad, Christian? I'll tell you what's sad. Some people get saved and they never get serious with God. And because they never get serious with God, they never get a chance to see God take care of little things for them. I appreciate a God that takes care of those tiny little things. You know, I was telling you about some things that the Lord did for us. When my wife and I first got married, you know, we went down to Pensacola and finished my third year college. And sure enough, man, same thing happened. I get down there, turned off my car, plunk. I look underneath it, there's the exhaust pipe laying on the ground. Now, I was either going to have to fix it or put a caster wheel on it, you know. So we went and got next month's rent money and bought a new pipe for the car. And then my wife got sick and had to take her to the doctor. And there was a bill I didn't have the money for. You know, you live down there, coolie wages, you know, down there in college. You know that. I mean, man, you know, it's like, you know, they put you on a bean farm. It's all you can eat. They want to feed you grits. I know why they call them that now. I ate them once. I mean, who wants to eat something called grits? You ever stop thinking about that? I don't care if it's nutritious. It ain't a pleasure. It's different. It's real different. I'll chew on an inner tube. And then of all things, I got sick. And you know how men don't like to go to doctors, but I had to go to the doctor. And here we are shelling out all the next month's rent money, you know. And I just told the Lord, this is October. I mean, we just got down there end of September. And it's October, and I said, Lord, we're hurting. I said, I got no problem with it. I said, we belong to you. I said, that car out in front busted. You got a problem with your car. Fix it. That's what I told him. I said, say something else, God. I said, I belong to you and my wife belongs to you. Fix it. And about that time, people would come by, you know, and say, brother, get up here. Hand me $5. Hand me a dollar here. One day, my wife and I were going grocery shopping. It was a Saturday, and I said, let's get. I said, write these down. And it came to mind to write down the bills that had come in unexpectedly. Exhaust pipe, you know, my wife's doctor bill and medicine, and my doctor bill and medicine, whatever else is broken, you know. And she looked over and she said, $52. I said, write this. I mean, my wife's sister in October had sent us a letter with $10 in it. And in the letter she said, this $10 I had put away for you guys for Christmas, but the Lord told me to send it to you now. Okay? So I said, add this up. And she's adding up all this money that come in, you know, that had come in unexpectedly. And she looked over at me, man, she says, $52. Now, I'm not one to look a gift horse in the mouth, but I prayed quietly to myself, to the Lord. I said, now, Lord, if that's true, I said, I got $5 more coming. Hey, I said, of that $52 that came in, I've tithed more than 520 of it. I said, I can eat 20 cents, but I got $5 more coming in. That's right. I tithed the 52. He didn't, if I he gave me $52 and I put 520 off and he still ain't paid my bills, right? Oh, you all lost your faith quick. Man, you guys all go mute. Be gone, thou dumb spirit. Come out. Monday, I come home from work, and my wife met me at the door, and she's excited. She says, guess what we got in the mail today? I said, $5 more. She says, how'd you know? Because my bridegroom wants me to know that he loves me. And he does little kind tokens of love toward me. Little things, you know. You know what my wife and I do? We write notes to each other. She wrote me one just the other day. It said, Sam, the bus leaves in 10 minutes. Be under it. No, she didn't. You know what? You know, we're going to go back. I'm going to leave. And not too long ago, I was gone for about 2 weeks. You know, I'll be gone for 3 weeks away from my family. I was gone for 2 weeks, and I'm going through my suitcase, and here's a love note from my wife. You know what she's telling me? She's trying to tell me that even though we're far away, she loves me. And I picked up a card, you know. I was in Denver, and I wrote a card, and I just I love her, you know. I love my wife. And I just wrote it down. I said, Kathy, what happened was they put me in this motel out in Denver, and I opened up the window, the curtain. I didn't know what was about to happen. I opened up the curtain, and there are the Rocky Mountains, man. I mean, beautiful blue sky, the Rocky Mountains, saying, check this out, Sam. And the first thing I thought was, I don't enjoy this when my wife isn't here. I'm drinking in this beauty, but I'm saying, man, half of me's here, and the other half is back in Ohio, and I wish you could see it. And I just wrote this letter, and I said, Kathy, I just want to let you know that it's beautiful out here, and I like seeing it, but I can't enjoy it when you're not with me, because I love you. I wrote my wife a love letter, see, my bride. I wrote her a love letter, let her know that I couldn't enjoy things the way they are, as beautiful as they were, till she joined me.
Amen.
No postage. No postage stamp. It's not been canceled. But you see what I got in my hand here? I got me a love letter. Must love me a lot. Look at the letter. Look at what he wrote, man. What'd you do, man? You ladies, your husband goes away halfway around the world. And he writes your postcard. Having a terrible time. Wish you were here. Hey, listen. Look at the letter my bridegroom wrote.
Amen.
You know what he said? He said, Sam, I'm in heaven, but I'm going to wait for you to get here. I just can't seem to enjoy this, you know. I was just dying to have you come. And I got me this supper up here. And when you show up, I mean, Sam, listen. When you got saved, I was rejoicing. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels. People said the angels rejoice. No, they don't. It's in the presence of the angels. People say, oh, yeah, that's all them saved folks up there. No, it ain't. You know who rejoices? Well, the Bible says over in Hebrews, for the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. You know what happened when I got saved? I put a reason. I made it worth having those nail holes in his hands. And he wrote me a little love letter. He said, I know that camel's kind of uncomfortable, Sam. I know it's smelly. I know it bounces you all over. I know there's no air conditioner. Man, I'm having a great time here, but I wish you were here. And I'm just not going to enjoy the beauty of heaven, Sam, until my bride gets here. Can't wait till you get here. And so I go around and I tell people about this bridegroom I'm going to marry someday, and everybody thinks I'm crazy. Hey, beats hell. Beats the father I used to have. So Rebecca, every place they stop, she's out there telling people about someone she never met. Now there's something else about it. I hate to tell you this. If there's any bad news in this message, it comes right now, and that is the journey was long. Now, I imagine if you had to go from here to Kmart and back on a camel, it'd be a long journey, okay? But you can imagine, I mean, ladies, how many of you want to get up and ride a camel? Imagine that. I mean, you know, I don't know that I want to ride a camel. And my back is no longer equipped to ride anything, much less a camel. And I was out in Montana, and I was riding this horse. And I broke my knee, my left knee over here, playing football a couple of years ago. And after riding that horse, you know, you kind of wrap yourself around that horse. And buddy, that knee was just talking to me. And I was thinking, man, this would be bad enough to have to ride one of these to heaven. That's why I was giving me a new body before I get one on to come back down. Get on one to come back down. But you imagine riding a camel. You know what, Rebecca began to wonder, I think after a while, you know, after maybe a week, 100 degrees, they had no band roll on. The camel had no band roll on. All them sparkling little Arabs running around their head, and they all run around like they had 14 goats hanging under each armpit. I mean, the animals and the people slept separate because the animals couldn't stand the smell. You know what I'm saying? While all this was going on, I can't help but wonder if Rebecca wasn't saying every now and then, when do we get there? She probably began to try to figure out a date for their arrival. And you know what she was doing? I'll tell you what she was doing. Eliezer had said, I came from Hebron. And she said, well, now there's some road signs up here. And I've been watching them. And this is a lousy journey. But Hebron's getting closer. And I'll bet that after a while, you know, she's bounced along there, you know, and she watches, you know, and it says, Hebron, 50 miles. 50 miles. And a couple days goes by, you know, and she's bouncing around, you know, Hebron, 20 miles. Boy, she's gone, 20 miles. And then she saw a sign that said, Hebron, next exit. Gas, food, lodging. Hey, hey. Oh, wait a minute. Hold it, don't get too excited yet. You are now entering Hebron. Eliezer, this is Hebron. He says, I know. You are now entering Hebron. Eliezer, that was Hebron. I know. Look what verse 62 says. Verse 62 says, and Isaac came from the way of the well Laharoi, for he dwelt in the south country. Do you know where that well was? Back to chapter 16, tell you where it's at. Chapter 16, verse 14 says, therefore, the name was called Beer Laharoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Beer. You know where Kadesh is? Kadesh is another 65 miles south of Hebron. Man, she said all that day. I mean, she was figuring it out. She figured out the mileage. And she said, we ought to arrive tomorrow at 400 hours. And they did. But no marriage. You know, since the Lord left, everybody's been trying to figure out when he's coming back. I was talking to some of the fellows the other day, and I just got out of Bible college in 73. I was preaching at a camp, and a man there told us when the rapture's going to happen. He told us when we're going to arrive in Hebrew. He figured it out mathematically. You want to know? I'm sure you want to know. He did all this addition, and it looked good, man. It was as good as they get. And he wrote it right up there on the blackboard. There it was, July 7th, 1977. I'll bet on July 8th, 1977, he was like this. Remember that fellow, who was it, 1980 or 81, you know, October 30th, Halloween. I thought that's a problem. You know, and the Lord is going to come. And October 30th, 1980 came.
That's right, brother.
And the last one I heard, just before I came up here, was in the month of March, 1987. Oh, no, we're not running out of time. It was March 21st, 1987. You know what I'm telling you? 90 and 9. Oh, it can't happen, preacher! I read the road sign. Hebron is just 2 miles away. I know. I think so, too. But what if he's dwelling in the South Country? I mean, I never thought the Lord would want to go south. But what if the trip is just a little longer than we expect? You know that if God lets us go past the year 2000, they're going to be a falling away like ain't nobody ever seen. And you know who it's going to be? Us. We who were so confident that we knew when the Lord was coming. I'll tell you what. You know what? Riding that camel headed toward Hebron, I'll bet with each passing mile, it got more unbearable and more unbearable. And the only thing that made it bearable was knowing that Hebron was just a few more hours away. You know what, some of you are going to gear up to just, you know, the Lord's got to come back in the next 5 years. I can't make it five more. What if he got to make 25 more? Right. Oh, I don't think we'll have to. I don't think we'll have to either. I just said, what if you do? Don't you reckon when Adolf Hitler showed up, everybody figured he was the Antichrist? I'd like to have heard some fundamental sermons from those days. I mean, he was anti-Jewish, buddy. He was as charismatic as they get, and he was bringing one world together. And he was connected with the great whole. I'll bet you the Bible preachers of the day were preaching some fantastic messages about Adolf Hitler. Well, look what happened. Oh, yes, the preacher, Israel wasn't a nation then. All right, so it is now. And we could still be here around 2014. That's right. I don't think we will. I don't think we will. But you remember one thing about prophecy. Prophecy is spelled O-P-I-N-O-I-N. Opinion. You can educate it, you can calculate it, you can scripturalize it, but it's still opinion. You know what might happen? 2,000. This camel's killing me. I want you to know something else. It was a long journey, but they had plenty of supply. Don't you reckon? You know one thing about Eliezer and one thing about Abraham is he wasn't about to send a servant out any place to take a long journey and not be properly supplied. And even though they went farther than she expected to go, it didn't seem to surprise Eliezer none. And they had all the food and all the water and all the necessities they needed.
Amen.
And all that trip, no matter how much longer it was than she thought it'd be, no matter what it ended up like, no matter how rough it is, no matter how hot it got,
lady.
In fact, I wouldn't doubt Eliezer looked back and said, "Don't worry, Rebecca, with food and raiment, be content." And she went past the 3-bedroom house up on a hill, and she said, "But," she said, "he said, I said food and raiment, honey.
That's right.
Your house is waiting for you on the other side. We'll just keep on going." You know what's wrong with some Christians? They don't think God's good at logistics. They don't think he can supply everything they need. The problem is really that we translate need, W-A-N-T, want. Well, God isn't going to give you everything you want. And that's the problem. But he'll give you everything you need. And I stand here today telling you right now, man, I've never had God miss a need in my life. And I will even go so far as to say that God has even given me a few desires of my heart. Just a few wants. Why? Because he's my bridegroom and he loves me. Well, I want you to notice something else. Verse 62. And Isaac came from the way of the well to Haroi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. You know what? You found out that Isaac came to meet him. He wasn't even down at the well, the Haroi. He kind of came north a little bit to meet that camel train. I mean, maybe the clouds that they met in were clouds of dust picked up by the feet of the camels, but they met up in some clouds. And about the time she thought that it was going to get just totally unbearable and she couldn't stand anymore, she saw this guy coming out across the field. She said, Eliezer, who's that? He said, well, who? Him? That's the master. That's your bridegroom. She said, it is. What a hump! That's right. Since you put that veil on her face, buddy, she said, whoa, look at that. I've been I wish all those people, all those women that laughed back at the school could see this. You know what I'm telling you? I'm telling you that you ain't going to make this trip alone. You got the Holy Spirit with you, but here come to meet us. Here come to meet us. You're going to meet us with clouds. One of these days, we're going to see the Lord. I don't know. The Lord's going to come. I like what one old colored preacher prayed one time. A fellow said, one old colored preacher got down. He said, Lord, he said, put on your wall clothes and come on. And that might not be accurate doctrinally, but I'll tell you what. I'm ready for him to come. And you know what the Lord might be doing tonight? He just might be adjusting the time of his coming. Remember, husbands, you guys, married, didn't you? You remember? Well, it's okay. That's great. Come out of it. Come out! Yeah, that's I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, Lord, listen. Now, I'm telling you that while I'm talking to you, Jesus Christ may be standing saying, help me out with this, please. I'm putting all my tails going out of town. You got me a little silly down there waiting for you to show up. There's a little black and blue on her backside from a camel ride, but he's waiting for me to get here. You know something? I'll tell you something, people. If you aren't praying for God to get back here, by the time he does, you will be. You mark it down. Some of these Christians, man, that got their Sears catalog Christianity, by the time the Lord gets back, they'll be praying for him to get here.
That's right.
And I'll bet you that if Rebecca figured that about the time she hit the Hebron city limits, it was all over, and then realized she had to go another 65 miles, I'll bet you by the time she saw Isaac, I'll bet she's not ready to get off that camp. I mean, I bet she was praying. Oh man, Isaac, come on, Isaac. Isaac, will you please show up? Isaac, I don't wanna wait no more. Isaac, I'm tired of this camel. Isaac, I'm tired of everything I've got here. Isaac, I don't want this world to be my home no more. Isaac, I just want to spend some time with you. And Isaac's saying that. I think I'll go over that hill and see if the camel train's coming yet. One day he looked up. On the town. Rides all the way. Because I'll tell you what. While I speak to you, the Lord may be saying, how they look? Yeah. Ford might look back and say, Father, you have to excuse me, I'll be back here for a while. I'll be bringing your daughter-in-law.
Amen. I mean, they may be holding the reins of a horse for him, and he ain't coming on a horse. Well, I'm under
stuff. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that Isaac came to me. Then after it's all over, look at verse 67. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. Ah, you women, you know how you're a sucker for a love story. You are. That's why you watch half that goop on TV during the day. You know, as the stomach turns and, you know, all of my, whatever they are, you know, like all my chitlins, I don't know. I was going through a grocery store counter the other day, and you know something? Four of them rags, you know, that yellow literature star and inquirer and perverter and whatever they call them. I mean, there was in bold print on three out of four of them the headline about somebody going to die on that. Yeah. And I assumed some poor woman, from what I saw in the headline, some woman was going to get blown up in a car. And I wouldn't doubt that when it happened, some stupid Christian woman somewhere in this country cried about it. Or guaranteed that she had to tune into it. You ladies want to get excited about a love story? You want to get excited about a love story? I won't tell you about a love story. I'll tell you about the love story. It is a love story that is so pure and so wonderful and so clean that God got involved in it. It is a love story about the prince of princes and the king of kings and the lord of lords. It is a love story about somebody who is a precious bride, who's hated by a wicked prince. And he's trying to hurt her, and trying to pervert her, trying to mess her up. And you know what? That wonderful king of kings, lord of lords, little water down there, bro. He sent his servant down there to spend every day, every hour with his king, just to make sure that she was kept pure. You want to love her? You know what that says? That says, and he loved her. I mean, it's finally happened. You know, sometimes it seems like the Lord is never coming back. Some of you probably praying he'd come back just so you get out of this message. Sometimes it seems like he's never coming back. Sometimes, you know, the calluses where we touch that camel get a little tender. Sometimes it seems like one more sand dune. One more sand dune. One more sand dune. Sometimes it seems like we get so tired, but you know what you need to do every now and then? I wouldn't doubt every now and then. Rebecca looked at a bracelet and said, well, I know he exists. Sometimes I wonder if he exists, but he must exist. Look at the rings. Look at the tokens of love he's given me. Look at the wealth he has. Look at the servant and all of the camels and all that they've got. I know he exists. And I was sure upset when I came in Hebron and back out of Hebron. And we kept on heading on this camel journey. One of these days, I'm going to be with my husband. And all those people back at the marketplace that laughed at me for being in love with somebody who I've never seen, they'll eat their words. They'll eat their words. Hey, don't they laugh at you? Don't they laugh at you? Hey, hasn't the journey seemed long? Hasn't it at times seemed too long? Haven't you gotten a little bit tired? Haven't you gotten a little bit bruised? Haven't you gotten a little bit callous? Haven't you said, oh, Lord, I wish you'd come. Oh, Lord, I wish you'd get back here. Well, tonight, he just might be putting on his three pieces. He just might be checking out, making sure the tails are all right. He's straightening his tie for the last time. As he gazes around heaven and says, boy, when I come back through here again, I'll be a married man. Going to get my brother. You know what you're going to say then? It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. That's what you'll say. You'll say, I'd sing the rest, I can't remember the other. But you'll say it's worth it all then, won't you? Let's stand with your heads back. with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. You're like I am. You're here under protest. You want to get out. How many of you say this, preacher? This journey's been a little bit longer than I wanted it to be. I've kind of gotten weary. I've kind of gotten weary of the journey. It's worn on my nerves, and it's worn on my emotions. I've gotten kind of tired of waiting for the Lord to get back here. I've gotten tired of the journey. I wish He'd come. I'm a little tired tonight. Here's my hand. I'm weary in the way tonight, preacher. Will you pray for me? I see some hands. God bless you. Put them down. I may say this. Hey, preacher, listen. This riding a camel is not my thing. I've got some bruises to show you that this journey isn't a pleasant one. And I've got me some bumps, and I've got me some cuts, and I've got some bruises, and I've got some wounds. And I've got some heartbreak. And I've been here all alone without my husband, just waiting to see him. I've been tending some brokenheartedness in my life. Here's my hand. You pray for me. All right. God bless you. And how many of you would say this now? I'm going to be honest. How many of you would say, preacher, listen, if tonight we came over the last hill and we sighted my bridegroom, I've still got some things in my life that wouldn't be pleasing to him. There's still some things that I have that I need to clean up before I see him, because I want to present myself just perfect to him. There's some things in my life I need to straighten up before he gets here. Here's my hand. Will you pray I'll get the courage to do right? God bless you. All right, listen. Then I don't need to tell you anymore. I don't need to beckon you. For you know who's already spoken to you tonight? The servant. The Holy Spirit has already told you what you need to do, hasn't He? And people, listen, though it was going to be a long journey, and though it was a long journey, Rebecca happily stayed on that camel till the journey's end and changed everything that she knew her bridegroom would want changed. And tonight, I've not preached to you, but you know who's spoken to your heart? The servant has. The one that your bridegroom has sent your way so that you wouldn't have to make the trip alone. The servant is the one who's told you about your bruises, and the servant is the one who's told you about the things in your life that aren't right. And it is the servant tonight who beckons you to an altar to take care of those last-minute details before he gets here. People, he may be over the next Sunday. He may be coming tonight. And the last thing you want him to do is find the wrong music, find the wrong clothing, find the wrong attitude, find the wrong value. The last thing you want to do is not be prepared for your bridegroom. Tonight's the night. Let's make ready. God, you've sent a perfect servant to fetch an imperfect bride. You've brought the tokens of love, God, and there are people in this church who have seen those tokens and wear those tokens with smiles. We've been pleased and blessed by your graciousness toward us and your gifts. God, some stand here tonight bruised and broken. Some stand here tired, weary. Some stand here tired of the mocking and the laughter of our co-workers. Some of us are grieved by what we see around us. Lord, we're tired of the long journey. God, tonight, some that stand within the walls of this church, there are some here, Father, who still have some things that they need to clear up before they meet their bridegroom. Lord God, if you come back tonight, they're not ready. They're not ready. And your Spirit, your servant, has already spoken to them. They've admitted that. God, let this be the night that they prepare for their wedding day. Let them be, as they leave here, as a bride adorned for her husband. Let them leave here tonight. Let them be in white raiment, Father, fine linen. clean and white and pure and chaste, such as would please the Master. In Jesus' name I ask you. Amen. Brother, you go.
I know it's late, but you might need to come and pray. You might need to come and get saved. So without taking the time to get your songbooks out and sing a song or anything like that, if God talked to you and spoke to you and said, come on, and step out of your seat and come on down and spend some time with God and get it right, do it right now. Don't wait for God to push you. Just come on out. Some didn't wait for the invitation. Some just came on. I want to give you an opportunity. Tired of the way you things have been going, the way you've been living? Not great big sins, some of them, just little ones. Pride, rebellion, arrogancy. Come on. If you're not saved, the old song goes like this. If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now, the doubting give o'er. Just now, reject him no more. Just now, throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart. Want to come in? He will. You ask him. Father, we thank you for the message tonight. Thank you for the messenger. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Take these words and drive them in our heart. Father, every hand that was lifted, I pray that you bless and move and give direction to and guidance to, Father. And thank you for the visitors came tonight. Pray, Father, that you'd honor them and bless them for coming. Thank you for the good song service that you gave us, the good special music that you gave us. Thank you for all of it, God. And Father, we thank you for the presence of the comfort of the Holy Spirit that goes with us on the journey. And we thank you for the blessed hope that we have that just someday real soon we're going to see you. Honor your word, God. Speak to our hearts. And then, Father, we want to take the time to pray for little Tyler Manning and ask that you raise him up off his sickbed, God. And for the time of fellowship that we're going to have right now, we pray that you'd be the center of the conversation and the main topic on every heart and mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's quarter to